What's up, Conroe? Welcome to a brand new edition of Nerd Thug Sports right here on 104.5, 106.1, the sister stations, and we're streaming worldwide at IRLoneStar.com. As always, you can check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/NerdThugRadio. This is Corey DLG, and with me as usual is little brother Nico. How we doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing okay. We didn't do an episode before the draft because there was just, here locally, there wasn't a lot going on. The Texans didn't have a pick until the third round, so there wasn't a ton to cover really for us locally. Now we get to talk about the draft overall, though. So that'll be the bulk of it today. We can talk a little Astros, too. And then we can even talk a little baseball umpiring.
You know, my favorite part about baseball, the rules. Marty heated.
Okay. So, the draft was interesting a little bit. I'll give it that 100%. Okay.
He'll preface this with probably.
So San Francisco had traded into the third pick of the draft, in all likelihood to take a quarterback. That was what everything was pointing at. And the Jets had traded away Sam Darnold, so all likelihood they were taking a quarterback at two. Jacksonville was awful. And Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback, and he was rated as the best player in the entire draft anyway. So it was basically a given that Jacksonville was going to take Trevor Lawrence, which I don't know what – Jacksonville has Gardner Minshew, who they've been trying to avoid making him like the franchise quarterback, but he's very charismatic and he plays moderate to good enough that – Most middle teams would probably think this might be our guy, kind of a thing.
Right, yeah. He's just teetering on good enough.
Right.
Which is kind of the worst spot to be in.
It really is. And he's young enough that you think, like, well, maybe, but, like, his history isn't great. Like, he doesn't have a big pedigree of success, so there's not a lot to base it on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The end result of all of that is Trevor Lawrence becomes the new quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Urban Meyer's number one overall pick. Urban Meyer is now the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think that's really relevant. I think he's going to be gone in 4 or 5 years. I think this is one of those mistake things that college people do when they come to the NFL. Also, Urban Meyer hasn't shown himself to be a really trustworthy guy when things are difficult, so I don't know what he thinks is about to happen in Jacksonville, where it's going to be an uphill climb. They're not a good team.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if he skirts them by just a little bit, they're just going to be whatever. They're just going to be just like they have been for the past few years, just a whatever team.
Yeah, they win. I think they peaked the year they won 9 games a couple of years back. Since then, they're a 6 to 8 win team every year, and they're not. They don't do anything to make that better. And this will be the third time they've taken a quarterback number one overall in, I think, 9 or 10 years. So I'm not really looking at this thinking they've changed anything.
Right. They're going to run him into the ground, and then in like 4 or 5 years, they're going to change head coaches. They're going to get a new quarterback, and it'll be the same story all over again.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
It's just a cycle. It's like
So here's the post-draft analysis. It's from one of the ESPN guys, but essentially the thing that is relevant because what you're talking about, Lawrence has the football acumen, release, accuracy, and athletic ability to read the zone read and the run-pass option packages Meyer had success with at the college level. These are the things that it means he's going to hold the ball too long and get hit a lot.
Yep, which is bad because
it's not what you want to see, that's for sure.
Nope, and it's a really quick way to not have a quarterback.
So the Jets took Zach Wilson. No surprise there. He was the next highest-rated quarterback. the conversation then turns to Justin Fields was the next best quarterback. And San Francisco at the third spot. It had leaked about a few days before the draft that they were looking at taking Justin Fields. And the San Francisco fan reaction to that was awful. Terrible.
Is there a particular reason why?
They just weren't excited about it. And I'm going to kind of parallel that. So San Francisco has a quarterback pedigree to it. Even getting Jimmy G, you got Tom Brady's apprentice, and he came and he won 10 and 11 games his first year. I think two of the first 3 years, he won like 20 games. So San Francisco sort of feels like they deserve good quarterbacks. And for whatever reason, they heard the name Justin Fields and they said, not excited. They just were like, why?
Like, beggars can't be choosers. Like, what do you want?
Well, they were heard. Now, keep in mind, Justin Fields is the quarterback from Ohio State, one of the biggest college programs in the country, and he had success. They instead took Trey Lance, a quarterback who was projected to go later in the maybe first round, early second, from North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Now, ESPN is generous here. I don't really agree with any of this here. So Trevor Lawrence is ranked in 97. That's his grade coming into the draft. Trey Lance, they've got ranked 92.
Okay, so pretty significant difference.
They still think that he's a good quarterback. I don't know.
It's hard to be like, are these comparable?
Yeah. Well, that's why they put this number on it, I think, to try and... Because, essentially, all the positions and all the players are all on the same board. So you have to come up with some sort of statistical way to say who is the best player. Let's say you're in the middle of round three, and you need to choose between a wide receiver and a defensive tackle. You need to know who's better. So that's where this grading comes in.
Yeah, but just like every other grading system is completely biased.
I'm not sure how they base it. You know, it's based on internal metrics, I'm sure, but I don't know. If the guy from North Dakota State is the third best quarterback in the draft, then congratulations to him. I don't really buy it. He is everything they like in the NFL right now. He's 6'4", 220 pounds, athletic, quick, big, strong arm. That's all the things that they talk about wanting out of a quarterback right now. I don't really know that that means that he's going to work out. I don't know. We'll see.
But very tall. The end.
But to continue the storyline of the night, what this does do is it excites the Chicago Bears. Okay? The right, Chicago Bears trade into the 11th pick overall because lurking behind them is New England. The Jets have another pick. The Chargers have, like, there's teams behind them that potentially could take a quarterback. Even Dallas is at 12, and you don't know what they're going to do. So Chicago trades into the 11th spot with the Giants. And I'd have to – I want to find what the trade was, but I don't know that I see it anywhere.
Didn't they give up, like, a ton of stuff?
Yeah, it was kind of an expensive pick. Because the Giants stayed in the first round. They got the Bears first rounder, and then they got stuff later, too. So
kind of crazy.
Yeah. And they took Justin Fields, and the explosion out of Chicago of pure excitement to have a quote-unquote real quarterback instead of
old Trubisky
is, I mean, Chicago's on fire right now. So right now in Chicago, they've got Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, who are both older, but could probably play a year or two more. And then they traded up and drafted Justin Fields. So they are...
It looks like a solid move now.
I mean, it's... By the way, at number 11, he's graded 91. So only 1 point worse than the North Dakota State quarterback. They definitely are better at quarterback right now than they were last year. There's no doubt about that. Last year it was Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles, and that wasn't good enough.
Because Mitchell Trubisky is like the greatest hot and cold you've ever seen in your entire life, even more so than like someone like I keep wanting to call him Winston Churchill. That's not his name.
James Winston. Although Winston Churchill probably wouldn't be upset. I mean, he'd love to be confused with somebody worth $40 million.
Right.
But so Justin Fields, he comes into, not a great offense, but Chicago doesn't need a great offense because their defense is what
Defense slams, and as long as their offense is good enough, they'll make it places. That's all you need.
Exactly. So as long as they stay top 15 offense and top 5 defense, there's no reason they don't win 10 to 12 games a year.
Right. This team now, if he's good, looks decent.
Right. I was listening to ESPN Radio the night after the first round. So the first round was Thursday night. Friday morning, I'm listening to the early morning coverage from the night before, and ESPN had their Chicago guy call in, the guy who covers Chicago. He called in to discuss the pick, and he was talking like Justin Fields was about to walk on water as he came to Chicago. Like he was like, this guy could do no wrong. Like he's in the perfect situation. Blah blah blah. So
it's funny that two different places can have such different harsh reactions. And that's sort of the truth.
Isn't that kind of amazing? Like, Chicago's had it so bad for quarterbacks that they were going to take Andy Dalton and just ride it out. They were like, hey, Andy Dalton's better than who we got. Justin Fields falls to them, falls to a spot they can get to, and they are thrilled. Thrilled.
Yeah, they're I can't believe this is happening. This is the greatest moment of our entire careers.
Right.
This is a one in a million. Like, they're talking like this is it, boys. We finally made it.
Well, people's boards, this would have been the number 2 quarterback, and somehow he did fall out of the top 10. So, if he is the number 2 quarterback and he did fall out of the top 10, it is a huge deal, and Chicago did get lucky. But the odds that Chicago has the second best quarterback in any situation, except for whatever game they're playing, is unlikely.
He's at least the second best quarterback on the field. At a bare minimum.
I see what you did there. To me, the real story of the first round that's just kind of terrifying is that New England sat there at 15, the worst they've been in a draft in 20 years. And Mac Jones, the starter for Alabama, fell right to him. He was the other quarterback who probably should have gone in the top 10 and just didn't. Now he's not a runner like the other guys, and that's why he fell, but New England doesn't want running quarterbacks.
Yeah. That's not what they don't play those.
Right. They want guys who are going to read the field, throw the ball and get rid of it and not turn it over. That was Tom Brady's recipe for success forever. Mac Jones is ranked a 90th. Getting taken at a 90 percentile, getting taken at the 15th spot. So, if you believe the rankings, the Patriots, by just sitting there, got way better.
Good job, guys.
So, obviously, the thing to talk about is, what did the Texans do?
Yes. The ever good question.
What about the Texans, guys? Coming into this draft, it was kind of agreed upon that our entire defensive unit could stand to get help. We got old on defense very quickly, and we needed to do something about that. J.J. Watt now gone. Not a lot of people on this team right now that you look at and you go, this guy's going to make plays for us. We got a lot of guys who are getting paid well this year, but that probably won't play well this year. And that's going to be a problem for us.
Yeah. you'd be doing pretty bad on the, hey guys, there's a plan for the future.
Right. So, being that we needed help on defensive positions, the very first pick that we make is the third round, number 3 overall pick. And we took Davis Mills, the quarterback from Stanford, ranked graded 79 overall.
Huh?
Yep. Started just 11 games at the college level. And he's going to need improvement. Like, he's not ready to play. What? We also have a backup quarterback already signed who potentially can start for us, Tyrod Taylor. It's fairly obvious that they are confused and scared of what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And somehow that led them to think that they needed to take a quarterback.
What? Oh, my God. Oh, no. Guys, I think we messed up. Are you sure this is the right order?
Quarterback.
Why did we take someone so low?
And then we traded back into the third round.
And we took someone with a percentile grade of 4.
We took a wide receiver.
Awesome. All this defense, guys. Good job.
He is ranked 75.
Oh, great. 1 point less than our first round pick.
Well, our first pick, not first round. Again, we didn't get to go until the third round. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Except for what we took. We definitely
took so many holes. Worst thing possible.
Yeah. And we took a he's a big dude, and he's a speed guy, which is good. That is what we're probably not going to re-sign Will Fuller, so this does help that. 6'4", 215 pounds, and he's very fast. But
that's cool.
Good job. Kind of doesn't matter because we're not going to have anybody to throw to him. I don't know. Maybe. I don't. We'll see.
No, look. Even if our backup is awesome, like the stuff that they write legends about. Oh, it doesn't matter because they're going to score 6,000 points against us and we're never going to win a game.
Oh, but we fixed it when we drafted it in the 5th round because that was our next pick. We took a tight end.
Wow, amazing, guys.
He is graded fairly well, graded at number 71. They say he was the 5th best tight end in the entire draft. So that is kind of nice. I don't hate him as a player. But
I hate our draft picks. So far.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that was the pick there.
He could have been the pick there if we, did anything else before that.
Right. So then at the back end of the 5th round, we take finally a defensive player.
Oh, man.
Garrett Wallow of TCU. He's an inside linebacker. I'm gonna read you what ESPN wrote about him coming into the draft.
All right. Can't wait to hear this absolute lovely story where it's going to be like, he's actually never played college football before.
If he ever learns the game. Wallow is an undersized, off-the-ball linebacker with quick feet and good speed. He's instinctive, he chases with effort, and he's an effective tackler with impressive closing burst. He shows good awareness and underneath coverage, and he's competitive matching up in man. That's not very good.
And when your first line of your bio is undersized.
Also off the ball. Like, when they're like, this guy's not going to play over the ball. He's going to play away from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Not a good he plays sign. Away, and he's small. He's kind of fast.
Not a
and
good
he
sign.
Puts in good effort.
Right. When all the things they say about you are things that don't count. He's a grade of 54. We took him in the 5th round.
Thanks, guys. Man, we're really slaying him out there with our good picks.
Don't worry, it gets way worse. In the 6th round, we take our final pick of the draft. Number 11 overall.
Oh.
number 11 of the sixth round, I should say. We take a defensive tackle.
Okay.
He's 200-300 pounds out of Arizona. I don't hate the size. Roy Lopez. He's got a low center of gravity, core strength to hold his ground one-on-one, outstanding upper body strength, and chases with good effort rushing the passer. However, here's where I don't feel like he's going to matter. Position rank, so out of in this draft, he was the 22nd best defensive tackle.
Joe, guys.
And his grade for the draft is a 30.
Awesome. You know how he used to be, like, okay at drafting people? What happened, guys?
This wasn't it, man. This was not it.
Like, we blew up our whole organization. We're like, we're getting rid of everyone. Bill Belichick, gone. We don't even... Manager's gone. This
Bill
gone.
O'Brien. Bill O'Brien.
Whatever. I don't even know what I said.
No, you're right, though. We turned over the whole front office.
Whole front office is gone. We lost J.J. Watt. We're probably going to lose Deshaun Watson.
And there are people who don't love our hire at coach. There are people who say... We hired a guy who is in his 60s, and this is his first time head coaching. He's been in the league, though, for 20-plus years. Usually you get your first job before then.
That's what they say. But you never know about young talent.
I will say that there were some interesting things that happened in this draft that thankfully aren't Texans-related, but... that are kind of funny. The Eagles. I don't want to get this wrong here. So let me get to the. I think it was their first round pick. Somehow this happened.
Their first round pick. They took number 20 overall.
Well, okay. Percentile so grade of 20. We live in the super internet era.
Yeah.
There were cameras in the war room streaming the Eagles draft. Situation. Okay, it was third round. Okay, it's a little bit better. So they're there in the third round, and you can see them talking and kind of going back and forth about who they want to take. Finally, they call in their pick from the war room. They wind up taking defensive tackle Milton Williams. And as the as the GM is going around and fist bumping people and high-fiving people, he goes to he goes to Tom Donahoe, who is the senior football advisor, and you can see them. You can see Donahoe doesn't even want to like fist bump him in celebration, and you can see that he's annoyed. And the two of them are talking, and they're trying to act really cool about it. You can't hear what they're saying, but you can see them. And then finally the GM looks over his shoulder towards the camera. So you know that they're trying to be cool about the fact that they're on camera, but that Donahoe is clearly unhappy.
Right.
Clearly unhappy. It was interesting.
You know. I'm glad you can just see the strife in real time, because that's definitely someone who's like, who's like, I swear to God, you better not take it. And it's like, we choose this guy. And it's like, oh, wow.
Well, and so this article that I'm reading here goes on to explain. So the Eagles had a really bad year. And they finished 4-11-1 last year.
Too fair. They haven't had a good year in a few. Quite a few years.
They won the Super Bowl, and then they've been it's been downhill since. So
yeah, they were like, yeah, and then they haven't done anything since then. Which, I mean, hey, by everyone's metric, oh, they already made it, boys.
Ooh. Honestly, most fans would trade that. Yeah, they would do that. They would want to win a Super Bowl year one, and then year two through five suck. They would still take that Super Bowl for sure.
Yeah.
Especially because it was their first Super Bowl.
Right.
But the GM apparently hasn't really endeared himself to the staff. And so that's sort of a that story keeps coming back now because of this fist bump. Like, they're already a struggling franchise, and now you fast forward to they can't even celebrate and get it on the same page and agree on whether or not it was a good pick. It just kind of creates more of the same problems for them.
Yeah. It's a big leadership thing. It's a big problem.
So they're definitely going to need to... Obviously, winning cures everything. If they can get on the field and play winning football, none of this matters. But if they don't do that...
Then it's really bad.
Then this story doesn't go away. It just grows.
I mean, yeah. Honestly, I don't see them changing a whole lot over this next 2 years.
Well, I mean, they fired the head coach, so they got a new guy in. But they got the same general manager, so...
How could they fire the head coach? He has a Super Bowl ring that makes him ineffable, basically.
Well,
it did. The greatest thing ever.
It did for 2 or 3 years. It bought him a couple more years, but Philly wisely did not wait it out, unlike...
Unlike Green Bay?
Yeah, unlike Green Bay, who... I mean, they played 3 or 4 years bad under Mike McCarthy. He's still my absolute favorite one.
Yeah, and he's still around doing terrible.
Dallas was terrible last. Now, granted, Dak Prescott wasn't there, so the Cowboys immediately gave him a pass. But it isn't like he got any, like, it wasn't like, here's the thing. So you plan a team one way, the starting quarterback goes out, you then are struggling to, okay, fine. But by week 7, 8, or 9, like, surely you figured something else out. Or week 12, 13, 14, surely you're playing other. They just coasted through the rest of that season.
No, they said, oh, we lost Dak. Oh, dang. Oh, I guess we're done with the season, guys.
It's over.
Well, again, I mean, look at Dak Prescott. Look at his stats. He's so impressive. Oh. He goes 500. He goes 500 when he's healthy. Imagine when he's injured.
Right. Well, it wasn't good.
Like, Dallas is such a, like, I know Houston is in shambles. At least I'm not like Dallas or trying to convince other people that, like, my franchise isn't terrible.
Right. Right. Like, at least we're not trying to talk people into being like, we're 2 years away.
Yeah, we're...
Nope. We're a defensive rebuild away.
Texans are like, yeah, we pretty much blew everything up and everything's awful. We're not anywhere close to being good. Dallas is like, just you wait. If we get all our guys and everyone gets hurt except our guys, and we got it.
We got this, boys. We got this.
Yeah, look at our broken quarterback. And oh, no, he's actually hurt. Oh, that's not what I meant. Oh, no.
So, it's funny you mentioned Mike McCarthy, though, because...
Topical. I'm always on topic.
You are, and you don't even know why. Aaron Rodgers told free agents last year that he's done in Green Bay, and it has now publicly come out that he has no intention of reporting to Green Bay this season unless they fire the general manager.
What?
They apparently made him an offer that would have made him the highest paid quarterback in the league, and he turned it down.
I can stand by Aaron Rodgers.
Here's what happened. This is the inciting incident. Last year in the first round, they took a quarterback.
Justin Verlander, wrong one.
I think it's Love is his name. He was the one from UCLA, I believe, and he wasn't bad, but
he's not Aaron Rodgers. Have
Aaron Rodgers, who's only 32 or 33, and
yeah, like Aaron Rodgers can, like, as long as he doesn't like get like horribly injured, like, will play for another like 5 to 7 years.
And last year was one of his best seasons in a long time.
Right, because he didn't have McCarthy.
Yeah, and they didn't bring this. So they wasted an opportunity to bring in real help to help Aaron Rodgers with that first round pick. The Green Bay Packers have never drafted a wide receiver in the first round, ever.
Because why would they? They're very intelligent.
Right. You've had guys like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and you've never drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Like, what does that tell you? But then past that, they didn't get anything to help Aaron Rodgers. They didn't get anything to help the defense. They literally got Aaron Rodgers' replacement, they think. when Aaron Rodgers had like 3 years left on his contract, and plus says he wants to play for another 6 or 7 years.
Right.
And they didn't reach out to him. They didn't talk to him about it. They didn't explain anything. They just did it.
Yeah. So they handled that with grace and elegance.
And so now he's flat out adamant that until they fire the general manager, he's not coming back. He's got zero interest in it.
I mean, unsurprising, because, like, look, when you have someone like Aaron Rodgers, who's like a once in a lifetime of a franchise opportunity.
Yeah, he's a once in, listen, he's a once in a 20-year quarterback for your franchise, for sure.
Like, he's incredibly good and has been incredibly good for at least the past 2 years.
And he had a Super Bowl ring already. And, I mean, he's a guy with accomplishment on a talent-limited team. That team is always – now, listen, they all have – every team in the NFL has the same salary cap. But Green Bay has always made choices where you see them letting people go that seem important to the team. Receivers that have helped him score, you know, literally they never bring in receivers. They keep developing guys and then not re-signing them. They don't give anybody the big money. They just move on from them.
Which is such counterintuitive. And then you have teams like the Saints who are like always like $7 billion over the cap, and they have to figure out what they have to do to fix it.
The Saints are perpetually screaming at a thousand, like a car at 7,000 RPMs, just going as far and as fast and as hard as possible. And somehow Green Bay has had only a little bit less success.
By doing absolutely nothing right.
Like on cruise control almost.
Yeah. They're going a comfortable 35 and a 40. Like they have the Lamborghini engine ready, but they're just not using it.
It is sort of what it feels like, a little bit. Like, they're just kind of casually driving through this.
Well, like, if you really wanted, like, Green Bay, what was their record? Like, 11 or 12 wins?
I think it was, no, they were 13-3, I think, with the first-year head coach and Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Well, this is like a nothing team. No one else on this team has a name.
Yeah, no help offensively, for sure.
Like, it's basically like Aaron Rodgers in our first year went and basically did better than every other team in like the entirety of the NFL.
It was one of his best years, and it was the first year he didn't have Mike McCarthy on his team as head coach. I don't think those two things should go untouched. I think it's important to match those two together, especially considering how bad it went in Dallas for Mike.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's literally saying, I'm not going to come back until you fire the general manager. I don't know what's going to happen with that, because now other teams are just like, hey, we'll take him. Denver.
Yeah, literally anyone else would. Again, because if someone has an opportunity to give someone like Aaron Rodgers, like, there's absolutely no reason to be like, it's like when Tom Brady left New England. Like,
he was going to make him an offer. When Peyton Manning left Indianapolis and he had a weird neck thing going on, every team in the league at least probably called him and said, hey, can we check your neck out? Like, we, you know, maybe you don't want to play here, but can we see?
Right.
And like, yeah, right now I think Denver's probably the forerunner. Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh got an extension. Big Ben's got a couple years left where they feel like he could still play.
I don't like Big Ben, but it's whatever.
Yeah, I think the last few years have really painted him and really I've turned on him. I was a big fan of his toughness and quiet leadership, I thought. Although the
revelations have always baby.
And here lately he's just been just awful. Just awful.
He's been terrible and the team has not looked good.
And he won't shut up. Him and Mike Tomlin, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, the other receiver, I can't even think of his name right now, Juju Smith-Schuster. The whole thing has just been so dramatic, and they haven't produced. It hasn't been worth it. It's been the Ravens, Bengals, Browns era of that division. The Steelers have been nowhere near the relevant story, but they're the dramatic story. because of all the different stuff.
Right. And the Steelers are supposed to be the good ones. Like, this is supposed to be like the good, the de facto good team. Like,
right. They're supposed to be automatically penciled in as one or two in this division every year. And the last 3 years, 4 years, that hasn't really been the case.
Which is insane.
All right, we're going to jump out. When we come back, we're going to talk Astros. We're going to talk umpiring.
God, I'm so mad.
That'll probably wrap up the show. So we'll be right back. Check out Nerds Like Sports. And get it. The Adventure Begins. Comics, Games, and More is a wonderful store located right there on 1488 in Conroe that sells comic books, gaming cards, gaming accessories, board games, as well as all kinds of fun nerd assorted accessories. This is Corey DLG of Nerds Like Radio, just reminding you that if you're interested, and if you're bored, if you got some free time, if you wanted to go hang out at an interesting or fun place, The Adventure Begins should be an option you consider. Everything from D&D Adventurers League to miniature painting to even competitive card play and even competitive gaming events. All those things occur at The Adventure Begins Comics, Games, and More. Interested parties should absolutely check out the Facebook page for more information.
This is Rudy Tomjanovich, and welcome to Nerd Thug Radio.
Back to Nerd Thug Sports right here on 104.5, 106.1, the sister stations. Streaming worldwide at IRLoneStar.com. You got the ad up, Nico? You ready, buddy?
Yep.
All right, Nico's going to tell you guys about our friends, The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More.
The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More is open and at full operating hours. You are going to ask if you want to come inside, and they do have delivery and curbside options available. If you want to be a little bit more safe, they have some events rolling back up. Friday, May 7th at 6 p.m. is the Star Wars X-Wing Casual Meetup. Also at May 7th, also at 6 p.m., is the Team Yankee and Flames of War meetup. Saturday, May 8th at 2 p.m. is the Pokemon play. And May 8th at 6 p.m. is Hammer Time. That's Warhammer tabletop. Meetups are back and rolling there at the Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More. Right there off of 1488. Fantastic store. Wonderful staff. Got all your nerd necessities there, your comic books, your anime stuff, your card games, your board games, anything you could possibly need right there at The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More.
All right. So, what do you want to do first? Umpires or Astros?
Let's talk about Astros and then go into umpires.
Okay. So, the Astros this weekend were in New York. And they New York. They were greeted full throat with the most explosive, deafening, consistent three nights of booze that anyone's really heard. The cheater signs were out.
They're still on this. Oh,
this is never going to go away. First of all, let's before we get into the Astros part of it, let's talk about this. Tom Brady was accused of deflating some footballs before a playoff game against Indianapolis. There was a big report. There was never a lot of proof about it, but he did destroy his phone instead of turning it over to the league for them to read the text messages between him and the equipment manager. He still has to deal with Deflategate. The Patriots have been accused of cheating a couple times in, you're talking about 15 years ago, 14 years ago. They still have to deal with cheating accusations. This is not going to go away for the Astros. The Astros cheated in the same season they won a World Series. They will never hear the end of this.
It's not even cheating, but whatever.
No, it's definitely cheating. It definitely violates the rules of baseball. However,
the fake rules of baseball.
They were actually better away than at home when they weren't cheating. Their numbers were better. Their hitting was better. Their on-base percentages were better. They were a road dog team that year, and the cheating literally meant nothing to the actual outcome, and they didn't even continue it through the whole season. It doesn't matter, though. They cheated. I don't have a problem. In Houston here, a lot of people were groaning and moaning, and oh, no, no. And another important part of it is the way the cheating started here is we brought in Carlos Beltran from the Yankees to here And he showed these young players the quote-unquote Yankee way of cheating. There's a letter someone else mailed in to the commissioner from, like, the Yankees or whatever. There's a letter internally from baseball talking about how the Yankees committed worse stuff than what the Astros did. So the Houston sports community, the writers and all that right now, they were so upset with, like, the hypocrisy of New York. And, oh, how dare they, and blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. When the visiting team comes to your stadium and you get to heckle them for something like cheating, especially in a sport like baseball, yeah, you're going to do it.
No, it's not the fact that you like they're doing it. It's just annoying because like it doesn't matter. Like, the cheating was irrelevant. It had no impact on anything.
Correct. It isn't why they won. However, right. The problem is the Astros are never going to get away from it. They ruined their own legacy before they knew what they were doing. And there's no getting away from it. Now, the players, though, this is important also. The players who have left Houston haven't had to deal with this same level of boo, scrutiny, insult when they go to their new teams. I say that because Carlos Correa turned down the Astros offer before the season started and said he might investigate free agency this offseason. More than likely, if this is what he's taking on the road this year, he's probably not going to stick around.
Right.
He's going to get $200 million from probably any one of about 10 teams in the league. So unless there's something that he really loves about the Houston situation, he could go anywhere and get the money.
Right.
But yeah, it was a rough weekend for the Astros. They wound up losing a couple games where they got some really good hitting from guys like Bregman and things like that. But yeah, it was a rather loud weekend for them, unfortunately.
Baseball, the gentleman's sport.
Well, listen, they didn't throw anything on the field. They didn't endanger anyone. They just gave it to them pretty rough for 3 days.
It's such a baby sport. I hate it so much.
It really is.
It's the most petty thing ever.
Here's where you should really hate it. Are you ready?
Oh, here we go, boys.
Okay.
Talk about rules in baseball. My favorite part.
No, we're going to talk about the umpire union basically is the reason that we have one of the worst umpires in all of baseball. Okay, let me tell you why he's known. He was one of the only Hispanic umpires in the 90s. And as he was coming up, he sued Major League Baseball in 2005 and said that he was overlooked for promotions and opportunities because he's Hispanic. All right. He said that you guys have discriminated against me pretty consistently for the last 10 years. I've never gotten to do a World Series, blah, 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 blah. Now, there's a hierarchy to umpiring. They are internally audited and graded, and the top ones are the ones who make these playoff teams, and the top team is the team that make the World Series type stuff. So there are internal audits and reviews of this. Major League Baseball, in his lawsuit, essentially said that the only reason he still has a job is because the union protects him, and he has consistently lacked the ability to show leadership and good decision-making skills and accuracy of calls on the field. Okay?
Woof.
05, they said this about him. He still is an umpire in Major League Baseball today.
Cool, all right.
This season, he has been a new level of bad. Now, the umpiring all around has actually been really bad. There's a ton of great clips, videos, articles about how the umpiring this year is just rough. Anybody who's been watching baseball this year would tell you umpiring, they may be rusty post-COVID because they need some help. I'll give you this one. So there was a tweet from umpire auditor. I'm guessing they compare what the computer says are balls and strikes versus what the umpire does.
Mm-hmm.
This is April 7th. This is the Astros game. This is Astros versus Angels in Anaheim. The tweet says, yesterday, umpire Angel Hernandez was responsible for the worst called game of the season so far. He missed 24 calls with a correct call percentage of only 83.2%.
Got him, boys.
And then in the tweet, there's some video of two of the worst strikeouts that the umpire auditor has ever seen. And they're pretty bad. They're misses for sure. This week, in back-to-back games, he's made three massive mistakes. Tuesday night, he's currently part of the crew doing the Kansas City Royals, Cleveland Indians. I think they're playing three games in Cleveland. Oh, no, they're in Kansas City here. Okay, they're in Kansas City. Sorry, I'm just looking at the video here. Tuesday night, early on in the game, there's a shot to the outfield. It's right against the wall. Even the announcers and players have said when you're looking against the wall, the way they have their LED screen set up, if you're staring at it trying to find the baseball, you will sometimes lose the baseball from the field. This is what happens to Angel Hernandez. He doesn't see if the outfielder catches the ball or drops it. There are guys on second and third. Third takes off as soon as the ball hits the ground, so he's standing on third base. He scores as the ball is coming in. The guy on second had taken a lead off, and Angel Hernandez, as he takes off to third correctly, Hernandez yells that it's an out because of the catch, which means the second base runner now has to go back to second base to touch the bag to go to third. That's outfield. That's pop fly rules.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to go back. The ball is already thrown to second base. He's tagged out, but he's looking around confused because he watched the outfielder drop the ball. So he's standing there between second and third with his arms up and a shrug, looking at Angel Hernandez. He's like, what are we doing? What are you talking about? Like, where's the out? Like, you saying he caught that? Because he didn't catch that. He starts to, instead of walking off, he starts to walk towards third base. The umpires get together. They talk about it. They agree to leave him on third base, and the other runner is now on first. The Cleveland Indians manager, Terry Francona, comes out there and loses his mind for a minute trying to get an explanation, and basically Angel Hernandez says at the press conference later on that day, I guessed on the wrong side of that one.
I'm glad that's the level of professionalism we're making.
Later on, he's still the first base umpire, obviously, for the game. And he calls a runner out at first who is safe by a solid. If you watch Major League Baseball, it's not close. It's a good beat and a half, okay? You know how baseball is very quick, especially mm-hmm. sometimes that play at first. He is ahead of the ball by a solid breath, okay? It's not close if you're standing there. Angel Hernandez gives him the out. The runner stays on first base and looks away from Angel Hernandez and crosses his arm and looks into the dugout. The dugout issues a challenge. Angel Hernandez puts on the headset and almost immediately takes it off and signals him safe. New York is literally waiting on the other end going, no, you were 100% wrong again. I feel like they're just watching his games so that they can tell him what he did wrong right away.
Like, puts it on, you're wrong. All right, we're done with that.
He's safe. Go back. Fast forward to yesterday. He is now calling balls and strikes. So obviously he does a terrible job of that. Then in the sixth inning, he rules that Jose Ramirez was hit by the pitch. This is something that can be reviewed during replay. First of all, he shouldn't have said it anyway because in the replay it's pretty obvious he's not. He's in kind of an L shape over the plate. It's impossible to explain over the radio. He's not hit by the ball. He's not. Replay should have caught it. They didn't that time. Replay let him stay on base. It was 100% incorrect. Later on, people are a little bit later. He calls a balk on the batter.
Balk.
The entire Kansas City Royals dugout just explodes at him they are losing their minds. The pitching coach gets ejected. Then Mike Matheny, the manager, gets ejected. And then Singer, the pitcher who was called for the balk, as he's leaving the field a couple batters later, he's being pulled for a reliever. As he's walking off the field, he gets ejected because he's telling Angel Hernandez how stupid he is. They wind up scoring. Cleveland winds up scoring 3 runs, and in that mess of an inning there with the balk and the hit by pitch and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was costly. It was costly. Angel Hernandez just wants you to know that he's trying real hard, though.
Like, I understand that refereeing should be a semi-independent body, but good God.
He's clearly
incompetent.
He's one of the worst. It's not a lot of times when you know by name a referee, and then they're notoriously known. The NBA had like 2 that were like that also. We've talked about that before. He's affecting outcomes of games. He's making bad calls. He's affecting quality of the sport, of the game. You've got to think to yourself at some point.
We just let him go, guys.
Yeah, there's got to come a point when either – the Players Association says we're not going to play games with Angel Hernandez anymore. Or baseball says, umpires, we can no longer allow Angel Hernandez on the field. There's got to be some sort of accountability there. Eventually, it becomes a quality of product issue.
Right, yeah. He's actively making baseball worse, which I didn't know was possible.
Oh, it's possible. And Angel Hernandez has found the way.
Right. He was said, What if your mess of rules was even worse because I am completely incompetent and can't figure out what to do? I guess when I can't see. That's like the greatest thing ever. It's like,
yeah, it's a terrible quote all around. Because you just don't ever want to, if you're the umpire, you're not guessing ever. You're supposed to see it. If you don't see it, you don't call it.
Right, yeah. I was playing baseball the other day, and I just kind of guessed who won. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. If in that instance he'd have followed that advice of not calling what he didn't see, he would have been 100% correct. I didn't see a catch, so I don't know if he caught it or not. That still would have been the right thing to do.
Right. And then, like, everyone's running, and it's like you can clearly tell.
Yeah. The entire infield, both teams, is under the impression no one caught the ball.
Right, and somehow you're the one that's like, oh, I couldn't really see, but I'm just going to assume.
Yeah, he caught it.
He got it. Go back. And he's like, what?
Terry Francona, his quote to the reporters after the Tuesday game, I just kind of told Angel, why is it always happening when you're here?
If it's only when they're there, it's because it's their fault.
I like that he only got 84% of the pitches right in the Astros game last month.
It makes me very happy because it just means that, you know,
83.2. Like, I mean, listen, it's a B. It's a good B.
I mean, that's a B, but when your job is to be as accurate as possible, it's really bad when you're wrong about 20% of the time.
It's also
how many pitches are in a major league game?
Oh, I mean, you're talking about 125, 130.
Yeah, so 25 of them are wrong.
It's a significant number that he missed.
25 of them? What is that? Eight innings?
He definitely got, I mean, it wasn't good. He got basically 2 whole innings wrong.
Like what are we doing, guys?
Well, for these 2 innings, nothing right. All right, that's going to wrap up the show today. On behalf of Little Brother Nico and myself, The Avenger Begins, Comics, Games, and More, same Nerd Thug time, same Nerd Thug channel. Come hang out with us tomorrow at Nerd Thug Radio. We are going to be on your air at 2 p.m. Come hang out. Have a great day. Enjoy your Thursday. It means it's almost Friday. And if you're like me, it means it is Friday because you're not listening to anyone else's rules. It's your calendar. Stay safe, stay clean. Let's get these vaccines going. I think we're shooting for 70% by 4th of July. Everyone have a great day. We'll see you. You can hear us tomorrow. The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More is a wonderful store located right there on 1488 in Conroe that sells comic books, gaming cards, gaming accessories, board games, as well as all kinds of fun nerd assorted accessories. This is Corey DLG of Nerd Thug Radio, just reminding you that if you're interested, and if you're bored, if you got some free time, if you wanted to go hang out at an interesting or fun place, The Adventure Begins should be an option you consider. Everything from D&D Adventurers League to miniature painting to even competitive card play and even competitive gaming events. All those things occur at The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More. Interested parties should absolutely check out the Facebook page for more information.
Hi, this is Kevin Smith, former Dallas Cowboy, Texas A&M Aggie as well, and I want to say what's up to Nerd Thug Radio.